Seduction. Sex. Lifestyle. For the true player at heart, Global SLR presents The Real Kings of Pickup. Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash motherfucking Dibazar. Be the best and fuck the rest.
All right, the third in the series that launches our most intimate event up to date. Tonight we are with James Simon, and we're preparing for the Forbidden Teaching. The format is unlike anything ever done before. Five of the best will be taking care of you guys. A couple participants will be there live in a luxurious mansion in Hollywood Hills, and the rest of the world will be able to watch us live as it's happening or catch up afterwards with the recording. Meanwhile, I'm here with my spiritual brother, a man who inspires growth faster than anybody else, and whose frames of mind have revolutionized not only my game, but my reality, Arash Zipar motherfucking Dibazar. Brother, how are you?
I'm doing great, brother. I did a social experiment last night. I wanted to try something, and I didn't tell anybody that I was going to do it. And, you know, this is what we do. And I went somewhere, and I know it was in a safe environment. And I got really, 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 really drunk. I mean, really drunk. I'm not saying you guys should do this. I'm relating a story here. You can learn the lesson of it. I'm the guy normally, and I'm sure you are, Vince, and we that are in this field, who's constantly aware of other people and social calibration and making sure that everybody's okay and everybody's, you know, I take care of everybody. And last night I knew I was going to be in a certain place where I was very close to the people, and I decided I was going to get drunk and I was going to become slightly aggressive. Well, what I mean by that is with the people I knew, I was going to push their buttons and blame it on the alcohol. And in order to do that, I was going to get shit drunk. And so I did this. And, you know, it was a rough day today because my body was poisoned. But it was very interesting what happened today. This morning, everybody who was there seemed to have a slight issue with me in the morning. And so I noted it. And about, I think it was, what time was it? It was around 12:30. I confronted everybody. I sent a text to everybody that was there. And I said to them that everybody had miserably failed my experiment last night. That I was completely disappointed in them. That they need to take a look at their own actions and their own lives and come to terms with why, and I mean why, none of them last night could even slightly handle me. When I was completely aware of what I was saying and doing. In fact, I repeated everything that I had said and done so that everybody knew that I didn't black out. I wasn't a fucking idiot. It was difficult, but, you know, I have that concentration level. And so it's very interesting because 100% of the people apologized to me sincerely after they realized that what I wanted to know was, are you guys capable, if I don't do it, to take care of me and each other? And the answer was an astounding no. An astounding note, and I was so disappointed in them. And I say this because it wasn't more than just my girlfriend. And everybody prides themselves on being so socially savvy, and they know what's going on, and they didn't. They were horrible. They were terrible. And this is something that everybody listening to me should understand, that you must, every once in a while, check the people around you to see what they're capable of, because you may need help at some point, you see? And I have some restructuring to do in my life because of this. So it was a social experiment that resulted in me being alcohol poisoned today, and knowing that the people around me have a lot further to go, that I must tighten discipline and ethics around me and make sure that they're up to speed, because God knows I may need them one day, and that day is going to suck if that day comes and I can't count on them. So that's what's going on with me. What's up with you?
Wow. Wow. It reminds me of the days when I was stranded in a wheelchair for 6 months, and all the well-intended people around me could not do much, at the exception of our guest tonight, whom really showed up in ways and literally saved my life and my ass at the time. For me, I was also conducting an experiment yesterday, not to follow your thread, but I go in field with clients every day. And here's what I notice. You know, it's easy to get a little bit better and to no longer be willing to face what the newbie is facing, to move towards danger. And when I go in field with guys, I, at first, before they work with me, I notice they only do what's already comfortable to them. And there's very little growth. For real growth, you must be willing to do what's uncomfortable. And because you are heading for mastery, it would only make sense that the better you get, the more you're willing to endure being uncomfortable, awkward situations, to constantly raise the bar. So first thing, I went to the gym, so I wasn't really dressed and pimped up. I mean, even my gym outfit is like pimped up to the, compared to the rest of the world. But I'm not used to walk the streets in my gym outfit, so that was a little uncomfortable. And then I had been up at 4 a.m., so I was in great need of relaxation, and my relaxation is super productive. I mean, I just, you know, I meditate and so on. I'm doing currently like a madman throughout the day, the James Hyman meditation and the work with Frankl. So, but I was definitely, I didn't want to be around people. So I constantly pushed myself to move towards danger. And it reminded me of how essential it is. And I don't mean stupid danger, but you know, the edge. At some point, this girl with an attitude passes by and she was all right. And I go around the corner, I go, I was wondering who this little fast-walking badass with a Guns N' Roses t-shirt was. And she stopped and stared at me with the craziest look. And then I go, are you all right? You are definitely not used to people talking like that. Are you going to faint? And then she goes, what did you say? And we found out that she thought that I said I was wondering who this bitch with the Guns N' Roses t-shirt was. So at another point, I had the chance to make a right and go where I'm usually doing my pickup when I only have 5 minutes, or make a left and go towards a crowd that was a little, it was a private event. And I go by the private event and this chick was there on the phone looking at the wall, so close to the wall that there wasn't really an opening to go around, and the wind was lifting her dress, and you could see her string. And so I was working against the odds, and I stayed, and suddenly a voice told me, okay, pick up the phone and call one of the girls that you can go the craziest and get louder than her, and then mimic being on the wall like that. So anyway, gentlemen, basically what I'm saying is that you need to have the discipline if you really want to make progress, to learn how to move towards danger, because you cannot be another one of those guys who's getting fairly decently good or even pretty good or quite good, but now you're only doing what's comfortable, because we'll find you in 1 year, 2 years, and you'll have the same questions and the same story and the same situations. Meanwhile, our guest for tonight has been at the GSLR. He was also on the show on CNN with us, and he's a shaman. And his family to me, he has created something called Deep Emotional Release. And most recently, I'm working again with colleagues, but I'm working and getting his assistance with a very peculiar meditation that has manifested wonders in my interaction. So a lot of you guys have worked with him. We have James Hyman with us tonight. So James, how are you?
I'm doing great, Vince. It's good to be here. And actually, I'm up in San Francisco, been up here for a few days and seeing people. And actually, I stay with my older brother, and he has some surgery, so I'm kind of helping him out. And it's just interesting listening to you guys talk, and I'm trying to feel, you know, what's our theme here. And what I noticed, you know, I'm just going to share, I guess, an experience for me. It's kind of interesting because, you know, sometimes I get a little lazy about, you know, going out and connecting. And I had a connection yesterday, and this woman said, you know, she's having a party at her house, and, you know, come on by. It just happened to be in East Oakland, which was about, you know, 40 minutes away. Last night, I was tired after a full day of work. I kind of fell asleep on the couch about 7:30, and I woke up at 10:30. And that voice says, I don't really want to go. And something in me said, go. And watch how your reality changes. Make an effort to shift out of a pattern, like you were saying before, you know, to shift out of something. And once I made the decision to go, it was almost like talking about this meditation. It was like something took over. I got in my car, drove across the Bay Bridge, went over to the party, and it was an amazing experience. It was just really beautiful people, a lot of really juicy women, a lot of great connections. And it proved to me that, like you said, it's like sometimes you have to make that little bit of effort to step out of your comfort zone, and your whole reality can make a major shift in a positive direction.
You said something interesting to James, and before we pass it back to Arash, you said something took over, and it's been my experience being very diligent without being anal with the practice, the work, as you call it, that meditation, you know, the three-part,
right,
awareness,
the
empty mind.
Yeah.
That first I noticed that there's a greater clarity between, what is the woman's part and what is my part? But also, combined with all the work with Frank and so on, the sum total of it all, a force taking over. And I heard you say that, like something took over. So tell us a little bit more about that. And then we pass it to Rush.
What I've been noticing with this meditation, and, you know, this meditation is just, it's a very stripped down, non-dogmatic form of very sophisticated Buddhist Dzogchen meditation, Tibetan Buddhists. Who really, these are the tantric practitioners, of the, you know, really talking about what we're going to be doing in Hollywood, like the esoteric teachings of tantra from Tibet. And this is the core meditation. And what I've been finding, and I know that you've been finding it also with this meditation, that as you basically retrain your awareness and attention to shift to being present instead of being in the mind, that what happens that, because people will say, well, how does anything get done? Because you're living in this presence, but what happens is when something needs to get done, it's like this innate force of intent takes over and everything just manifests. And it's effortless. And sometimes I'll step back and I'll go, I can't believe how all that got done so quickly. And I don't even, kind of wasn't even really there. I was just sort of watching it happen. So it's very interesting.
Wow. Wow. So. We pass it back to Rush, and brother, I mean, you know, I don't want to limit you with a question. One thing that came from James in my question was like a force taking over, but we pass it to you.
Yeah, well, shoot, I was thinking, how much have I said in the last 4 or 5 days with the lectures, with the podcast? I'm like, do I even have anything left in my brain to talk about right now? I just have to examine it. But I always do, and I'll just go off of that with the idea of a force taking over. It's been interesting for me. As I mean, 10 minutes probably prior to the phone call, 10 minutes prior to that, I was searching online for something that would inspire and be similar to or identical to actually, but just couldn't do. But to the feeling that I have, this unstoppable, unbreakable, total go-for-it attitude that's in me right now, you know? And
wow.
I keep finding myself, when I find something, as big as it may seem, and then I take it on, believe it or not, it now lowers the quality. And what I am doing is looking at it and saying, okay. So, can I just go to the feeling? Can I just go to the knowingness that's already in me without any idea of an external anything? And can this itself be enough to continue to explode inside of me and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? And I can do it, and it seems to be the right thing to do, but it's almost like a self-confidence issue that I'm having, if that makes sense. It's kind of like I'm looking for something outside of me still to validate this tremendous level of power that I feel right now. And I'm not saying this as if I have the answer. I'm just stating, based on what you guys said, that I'm dealing with this issue right now on a personal level. I'm looking, you know, I can tell you if I read the tabs that are open up there on my computer, one says Supreme Boldness, the other one says Dominant Attitude Subliminal, the other one Master Sergeant of the Army giving a speech, and that's it, my diamond mind and my Facebook. And I'm just looking for the, what is this that I feel that makes me feel like a fucking tsunami or a volcano? Or even those are too small. I don't know what the fuck is going on inside me, man. And I'm so tempted to look out and find something that I go, oh, so that's what's going on. But as I do it, whether it's a character in a movie, a book, and a historical figure, by the way, everybody should look up this fucking guy. He's closing tabs. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio did this movie about, it's called Reverend or Revenant or something. And it's based on a real guy. You know the real character, his name is, you know who was based on the guy? He's a real guy.
No.
Well, if you don't know.
No,
if you guys
I
look
don't.
Up, okay, I know that Hugh is in his name, H-U-G-H. And I was reading his story, and oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, that guy knew what I was feeling, you know? And then I was watching this other interview with a guy who, I'll just make it brief, he got a Medal of Honor from Ronald Reagan, and he basically ran into the fucking... The helicopter couldn't land to save his friends, so he jumped 50 feet from the helicopter, ran 75 kilometers, saved something like 20 of his comrades, and saved three or four bodies from the enemy because he thought they were his. He got shot so many times, a grenade blew up in on his back. His legs were shot, his finger, everything. He's in the fucking helicopter. And they put him in a body bag because he's bloody everywhere. And as they're zipping up the body bag, he can't move, but he's alive. And he's telling the story that the zipper is pulling up to his chest, and he's trying to say, I'm alive, and he can't. And he hears his friend yelling to the doctor, no, that's my friend. Don't close the bag. He's not dead. And the doctor's like, there's no hope for him. And then he convinces the doctor to put his hand on his chest to feel for a heartbeat. And as he does, this guy somehow spits in the doctor's face, which is all he could do. He spits. And then they take out the body bag, they wash him up, and he survived. And he's telling the story, you know. And this fucker guy did not give up. And he was saying that as he's in the back and they're flying him away, his friend who he saved was holding his hand. And he's looking at him, and they're both bloody. And he's telling his friend underneath his breath, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. He goes, and suddenly his friend squeezed his hand really hard and let go. And he died right there. And he was saying, he was yelling at God in his mind. He couldn't even speak. He was yelling at God in his mind, why do you do this to me? Why did I just go save them just so that he can die in my hand? And he goes, as he's doing this, the guy in the chopper turns around and thinks that he can't breathe. And so he takes out a knife to cut open his throat so that he could breathe. I guess it's some kind of procedure they do. And he sees the guy with a knife, and he's looking at him, and he's like, I was going to kick him off of the helicopter because he was going to cut my throat. And his story is unreal. And this is what I want people to understand. It's like, we are so much more capable than what we even begin to think of ourselves. And I've just been pushing myself so much every second to go, wait, why am I accepting these weird limitations when a man can get shot like 10 times, have a grenade blow up in his back, and all this shit, and he's standing there talking about it. And what drives a man to live like that? I want that. So whether it's being moved from the outside or inside, I cannot tell, but it is being moved, and I'm going to keep exploring it and see where it's at. So I'll pass it to you.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Amazing. It reminds me of the story of Captain Gerald Coffey. But one thing that I've noticed, guys, with extreme growth, there's going to be an awareness of what you can do that you haven't done before. And it reminded me of the psychological phenomenon of sometimes why don't people go for more? I know we all have bursts of inspiration suddenly that, oh, wow, it's finally going to come together. But there is somewhere an unconscious fear that if suddenly you were to realize today that you were 100, if not 1,000, or at least 10 times more capable than you knew it before, you would have to face that fact and wonder why you didn't do it sooner. And it's a pitfall that happens unconsciously and oftentimes quickly brings people back to a place of playing it safe once again, so you don't have to face the music, so to speak. So for that, you need to be prepared and pre-handle it by knowing that you always did your best with what you had at the time. So you have to know that you're moving forward and you have zero time to look back and go, why didn't I do that any sooner? The more you're aware of that, the more you can propel yourself forward. Now, a lot of the struggles you're encountering, and it's important to also honor those moments of struggle, because we are fairly comfortable, but when you hear a story like the story that Arash just shared, you know, we got to remember those are part of the facts of life, reality of life. So we never know when all that we know may no longer be what we know. So prepare. And at the same time, you also have to be fully aware that it's about exposing yourself to greater reality. You know, imagine right now, you're not the guy who invented the cell phone. But imagine how much easier all the technology has made your life. You couldn't be listening to us right now via this podcast if it wasn't for all the support of the technology. So what if we remove all that technology and we're not even aware that it can be done, and now suddenly you want to be exposed to the work? Same thing applies with frames of mind. So you got to make sure, because your mind is brighter than you know it. And wherever it goes, it's going to develop some sort of a theory. And most people have crap theories that are working against them. And once you develop a theory, you will defend it. Because you are in it and you think that it's truth and reality. So it's not easy to grow until you kind of relocate yourself. Your thinking, I should say. And you're exposed to ways of thinking that make your life much easier. Much easier. This morning I was doing an interview. Rash referred me to a phenomenal growing magazine, and I got to do the interview. Thank you again, Rash. And one thing that transcended, we spoke a lot about success, is the idea that the common mistake everybody makes is that they base their everyday action on their current reality. And what you got to do is reverse the frame and imagine the best possible reality without wondering how it's going to be done. And it's a lot easier than to be juiced to go for it. You know, a lot of people, they go, wow, how can you go with, like, last night I had 2 hours of sleep and I've achieved so much today, so much. And managing women, the business, I even include like my new hobbies, creating fashion. And it's because there's juice. So my message to you guys is, if you stay within the reality that you're in and you keep on exposing yourself to the same thing, there will be very little growth. But if you're willing to transport yourself to a new reality where you're going to be exposed to higher frames of mind, things that are outside of your awareness currently, it will simplify your life so greatly. So take that leap of faith, and I pass it to James. We'll go around one more time.
Okay.
We'll give one last chance for anybody who wants to be at the mansion with us or live stream an event. Like, you know, I'm going to say one thing quickly about the event. Arash, I was thinking, a lot of guys in the community have fantasized that maybe they would have been in the game, you know, in at Project Hollywood and lived that environment, or even more in the show VH1, the bigger parties. So it's not a reality show. You don't have the pressure of cameras on you, but the environment is even greater than that. It doesn't even compare to a reality show. It's total immersion in a mansion with James Hyman, Frank White, Kevin Gentry, the pimp, and of course, the best of the best of the best ever, Arash and myself. And you spend a whole weekend with us. So, James, in preparation to that event at the mansion, new realization, what are you bringing to the plate? So much always. I pass it to you.
Okay, so, you know, I'm going to come back to, you know, I feel really grateful just for the work that I'm doing right now, this work that we're talking about, this meditation. I feel like in some ways I've really been looking for this all my life. And in a way, it goes a little bit against the grain of some of the conversation because it's really about collapsing everything into the present moment and not really having an agenda or a goal and really surrendering to the absolute spontaneity of life, of the life force itself. And so in my experimentation with this, what I've been finding is that, you know, I keep studying, you know, I keep, when, as I'm around women and I'm working with women and as I get freer within my own, self, I keep noticing that, you know, it's their energy. It's like, you know, it's like when they're alive, when they're light, they're laughing, they're smiling, they forget their stuff for a second and they're just being free. It's like their light is, very brilliant. And so what I'm noticing is, for me, it's how much can I extract in the present moment out of the life, out of the field itself, out of life force itself, so that my happiness is not something I'm deferring to the future, but it's something that I'm fully embodying today, no matter what's happening. And to appreciate this amazing flow of phenomena that we call life, but to see it is really almost like I'm living in a movie. It's not like this normal reality. I keep trying to break out of that mold so that my mind's not stuck in this, like, it's just, it's the same thing. Even though my reality is, you know, pretty basic, the brilliance is coming from the infusion. It's like what you were talking about, Arash, it's this energy. It's like in this hidden teaching that we're talking about, you know, for the weekend, it's really about this mysterious energy that's, and it feels like it's very open, you know, the field is very open for us right now. It's like, there's like a new reality wanting to manifest itself, no matter what the conversation out there is. It's what I'm experiencing. It's what you're talking about, Arash, what you're talking about, Vince. This energy is very alive in us. And, it wants to be not exploited, but it wants to be used to its fullest to continue to express this love, this admiration and this love and devotion to life itself, which is, you know, women, energy and all of the stuff that we're talking about. So it's very exciting. It's very exciting. And, you know, I just keep looking more and more and working with people to find coming back to that natural flow of spontaneous energy that really is the essence behind, you know, pickup and everything else, you know, in our world.
What I found is the compounded effect, you know, Arash, you often talk about like we're superheroes and we are with supernatural powers. And then the compounded effect of five superpower, you know, suddenly you find yourself so much more present. Suddenly you find yourself in higher frames of reality that have you, no longer look up to all those things that you want, but look down because your reality is so far above. So, I pass it to you, Arash, and then one quick invite for the mansion, and then we'll all share one supreme gold nugget of our choice. How's that, guys?
Cool.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief, because I got a gold nugget coming, I guess, right after this. So I'll throw a silver, and then we'll go to gold right after this. I think that really at the bottom line, and this is what I'm going to be working with everybody. If you've been listening to these podcasts, you should be able to hear it in my voice. You'll know when you see me. I guarantee it. I guarantee you guys will know. The moment you see me, I look different. I feel different. I am different. And the thing I'm going to work with everybody on is real confidence. I think that's a problem. It really is coming down to that. As I said, even for myself, the desire to keep looking outside of myself for that validation is surprising to me. I'm very surprised at my actions right now as I am growing so fast in my power and yet can't seem to just own it at the level that I know I should. So I think that confidence is a big issue, and it's not a finite condition like, oh, now I'm confident. Well, how confident is that, you know? And I think that once everybody who goes gets to see some of the things I'm bringing to the table for you guys, if you know me, you know, there's no doubt, and I don't need to be humble about it, my ability to dissect and look at information and find these truths in it. And so that's what I've been looking at. And what I'm going to bring to you guys, you're going to see, you're going to be surprised. Even presenters, Vince and James and Frank and Kevin, everyone will be surprised because, you know, I have locked myself away for a week. This is the second week now, as my girlfriend asked me. Normally I go out on Thursdays and Sundays. I go out with a friend and we go and go to Hooters or go eat somewhere. And that's where I meet women. And I haven't and I won't. Again, tonight I'm not. And I've really, really put myself in a certain position where I want to get this. I've picked up two brand new art forms that I'm really excited to share with you guys, and I will next weekend to the people that come there, and then I'll share with the world later. And it's given me an opportunity to look at my own next level of confidence, you could say, and my own next level of insecurities. There's levels to this, you know. I find myself in a new territory looking at my power with fresh eyes and being surprised at the depth of the traps of my mind that seem to somehow leak and suck away from my newly found power. The temptation to stop and not push it to the next level is so great. So then it allows me to see what people are dealing with. You know, when you guys are approaching women or going into your businesses to make money or just picking up a new skill, as I said, there's so much doubt and insecurity in there that if it wasn't there, you would approach the subject totally differently. For example, if everybody who was coming to this event actually arrived with 100 points, if it was a video game, 100 points more of self-confidence prior to the event, then the information presented would be utilized completely differently. And so that's what I'm going to work with everybody on. I'm going to work with them on a new level of confidence. And I don't care. You could be the greatest guy there. You could be the newest guy there. You are going to get something from it because there are some really good people showing up. You know, we have some really, really, really capable people showing up to this event. And that's what excites me. So I'll pass it on to you, man.
Wow. I cannot wait. It's just amazing. You know, the space between the events and when we reconnect is just so inspiring. So I just cannot wait. I'm at a completely different level. I am genuinely no longer of this world, and I'm not going to get into the bizarre explanation of it, but I am not. I am not. I've had actual recall of an other location where I'm from. So come be entertained by that aspect. I'm also working with a crystal healer, and she connects me with like galactic ancestry. But anyway, here are the three gifts that I want to bring. The first one is very gentle and very subtle. Most guys don't make the progress they want to make because they don't really have an internal coaching model. What they usually do, and I'm sure you guys listening will recognize yourself in that, you probably notice what you're not doing. You try to explain it with a lot of pain and a lot of details. And then even if you resolve that you want it to change, you push a little bit more. Maybe you get more information. But if you, at the end of the day, look in the mirror, not much has changed. It's because there's got to be some internal guidance that I want to inspire you to find within yourself. What a lot of people don't know, you see my videos, I'm sticking my tongue out, I'm like, I'm the kissing saint, I'm grabbing them. But I want to share what's going on in my head that allows me to experience growth, you know, because I have to dialogue with myself. Like Arash was saying, there is within us some strange resistance. I don't want to Arash explain it in one way, but for me, it's not like, okay, girl, go. There's always a reason that comes up, and I have found through the years a way to be aware of it, to not judge it, and to start to work with it and turn it to your own advantage. So it catapults your progress, and you correct right away. I'll give you an example. I was walking on Hollywood Boulevard, and suddenly I passed by this bar, and the bouncer knows one of my exes. And he didn't look at me the same way he goes, hey, Vince, usually. So right away my head goes like, that bitch, she spoke to him. It's one of my favorite places in Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. I passed by and I didn't say hello. It didn't feel very good, but I'm not the kind that will ever be defeated. So I decided that the following day, I would go right back and change my reality. So I arrive, I open my arms, I said hello to him, and what I realized, he probably was busy with something. Okay? Then I saw this stunning looking girl, and I had decided I was done for the day, and my body walks away from her. I was like, no, this is not my reality. And I changed it on the spot. So you guys will make more progress, more genuinely, instead of being hard on yourself or too soft on yourself. You are going to be efficient with yourself. First gift.
Efficient.
Second gift, the eradication, the removal of all illusions. All illusions. To only exist in a place of potential. What's the benefit in it from you? First, you're no longer going to be like, oh, I'm a morning person, I'm an evening person, I have peaks, oh, I don't like Sundays, and so on. You're going to transcend time, and it's only going to be, I'm here now, pure potential, because those rob you from the truth that you have your power in those moments. With people, to no longer be comfortable with certain people, uncomfortable with others, to no longer be dependent. We're going to remove any external dependence. You're going to find it within, make it flourish so strong that you'll know exactly how to act with other people. Because a lot of the irritations you feel in your experience with other people either rob you from your power to act and tell them not to do what they're doing, or takes the appropriate measure, because then you're in pain because it's bothering you on the inside, and no true commander could ever be efficient when they operate from pain or frustration or being irritated. Or you're blaming yourself, and we're going to remove all of that. And finally, the third gift that I'm going to give with you guys is the experience of lifestyle. You know, I lived at Project Hollywood, so we're going to be in a mansion, and it's going to be a sense of vision for you. Vision. Maybe you never cared for a mansion, but exposure to a greater location will give you a sense of greater opportunities in your life. And I'm sure as a result of that, if somebody was like, I want to start a business, I'm not sure. You know, there's nothing like a glimpse of something bigger than your current reality. You've experienced it. You went to a vacation and suddenly your mind starts to think of new ideas. So I'm really going to emphasize that to make sure that you guys live the life of your greatest possible life. Okay. So James, go for it. But I'm looking at the time. Why don't we do this? I pass it to you, James, in a second. Now I just want to let the guys know, about the mansion. Okay. So it's the 18th, 19th and 20th of November. So it's right around the corner. If you hear this afterwards, there's always the initiation in Vegas. This event right now is the most exclusive. Okay. It's a group that's limited to max 15 guys. 5 can stay there at the mansion. So you have VIP registration. I think we have 1 or 2 spots left where you can stay at the mansion. And some of the teachers are staying at the mansion also. So that means you can get more from them. The lineup we told you already. So it's full immersion. We call it a spiritual lifestyle boot camp. Okay. Where there's always that conflict, you know, with the spiritual. People move closer to the spiritual, but they're walking on one leg. So then they're lacking the spirituality and they're chasing their dreams, and we're going to make you strong on both legs. So you walk, run faster with a sense of presence and a sense of a vision at the same time. It's the alpha and the omega. It's all meeting. We're going to all go from different angles, you know, the mind, the soul, spirit, everything is handled. Bonus yoga class there even. We got a couple of surprise coming. And ideally you come in person, at least get the live stream, get the VIP live stream, do all that you can, and you get the recording afterwards. So you're going to have recordings of three entire days, and the gentleman manifesting the live stream this time is the same guy who did it for the Global SLR, and everybody was so pleased. We gave you both the live stream, a recording of the live stream, and a side recording in HD. That's what you're going to get. So jump on it live. Once we reach max, there's zero exception. Live stream, there are some restrictions. We cannot take hundreds of people, and you got to act on it right now. You contact any one of us, or you have the info on the podcast.
The new year is right around the corner. We know you want better and more at all levels. But let's face it, the odds are not in your favor. And let's be honest, unless you remedy with all you got, it would probably be the same old shit, different year. So time to truly change. As seen on CNN, This Is Life with Lisa Ling, The Seduction Game, also featured on Sky TV with comedian Carl Kierperson, The Moaning of Life. The most potent, popular, and best-priced 7-day training on the planet. The Initiation. Total Manhood Makeover for total social and personal success. Las Vegas. January 16th to 22nd, 2017. Led by true legend, number one pickup artist on the planet, Vince Hollywood Kelvin, and revolutionary philosopher and best seducer in the world, Arash Zipar Divazar, and the best healers on the planet, such as shaman James Hyman and occult expert Frank White. Imagine 3 days in the depth of Nevada's desert, Alpha Camp, to strengthen your survival skills, tap into your true warrior nature, and arise spiritually to harness powers you didn't even know you had. With board breaking, fire walking, chakra clearing, NLP, hypnosis for total success programming, and the most hardcore step-by-step military-style training to masterfully and flawlessly attract and bed the women you always desired. Then relocation for the following 4 days to the city that never sleeps, where everything goes, Las Vegas, Nevada, for around-the-clock pickup from nightclubs to malls, streets, casinos, including a visit to an adult convention. Expect only the very best results, not only with women, but in all areas of your life. Fuck excuses. It's your life, and the clock is ticking. Accepting applications and registration now by going to www.vegasinitiation.com or call our 24/7 hotline 1-323-309-3219. But hurry, we work with a sliding scale, and rates are subject to increase. So stop sitting on your ass before you're drawn into the abyss of excuses and regrets. Act now. Women and your new life are ready for you. Vegas, baby, Vegas. See you in Sin City for the real success you have been craving your whole life.
I pass it to you, James.
Okay.
And then a rush of gold nuggets, and then one last gold nugget on my side.
All right, so I think the main thing, two things that really stick out for me. One is to really share this meditation and have everybody really, really get it. It's very simple, but it takes you to the core of, you know, where the mind can let go and the spontaneous energy, the spontaneous force can sort of help animate our life. And then the other thing I think is helping the guys understand what it really means to establish your life actually as a spiritual practice itself. And what it means so that your one's spiritual life is adapted to each individual. They adapt it to their own life, their own lifestyle. But they understand that what this work is about, it's about establishing a practice that sustains an ongoing sense of well-being and fulfillment on every day that you wake up, every day that you're alive, that you're on purpose. And you may still have all these intentions for the future, but you're also receiving the full benefits and the rewards of this past, you know, materially, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, in every which way. So that's pretty much, you know, what my focus will be.
Yeah, yeah. A quick side note, there's a gentleman that had a lot of challenge expressing himself. And he did one session with James. And I mean, the guy would just, when people say they freeze, I don't like the terminology, but he would, like speechless, standing like a statue, speechless. He does a session with James, and he's speaking from a deeper tone of voice. I was just, like, mesmerized. So, brother, out of the hundreds of thousands of beyond gold, precious metal from outer space, you can share what's one final one on your side for tonight, until the mention.
Yes. I think as a man, you have to make a decision here, okay? And you're either going to decide that you're going to face life as a man who is some form of a warrior. And what I mean by that is, for example, Frank is a sorcerer. Jane is a shaman. And if you go and look at any video game or fantasy book or history, right, you're going to find that the warrior always has a friend or visits or in his entourage, which is a new word, there's going to be a sorcerer, a shaman, a cleric, a wizard, right? But there, you find them in the same world. And then they, maybe before they go out to battle, they go to a, anybody who's familiar with video games will know this. You go to a town and you go to the shopkeeper and let's say if your character is a sorcerer, you pick up some elixir, you pick up some this, some that, depending if you're like maybe a dark sorcerer, you get a foot of a frog, you know, I'm giving you the generic terms. And if you're like a light sorcerer, you might go pick up a feather from a pigeon or something, I don't fucking know. And then, you know, the warrior goes and picks up a new sword and the thief goes and picks up, you know, you got these classes of warriors, these classes of people that band together and they go on a quest to kill the dragon or find the treasure or something. And each of them brings to the table some kind of skill that when put together makes a symphony of talents. And those people are the ones that go on the adventures. And then they end up from town to town in these video games or movies. And in those towns, there's the farmers and the merchants, right? But those people are different than the people I just said. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that to do what we're doing, you're going to have to be those adventurer classes. Now, you may not necessarily be the wizard, the warrior, the cleric. I don't know. But you're going to have to be somebody who goes out and grabs the treasure or faces the dragon. Because if you're not that, for example, the farmer in the video games or the merchant will sometimes say something like this as a parting word to the warrior. We'd be like, well, good luck. And if I was there, I would help you. But he's not going to go. He's going to stay home because that's what he is. Okay. And so once we recognize the spirit of adventure in us, that the people that are doing this are that class of people, and that it is a different class of people. It's only in recent times that everyone's one class, everyone's the same, everyone. I don't buy that. I never have, and I never will. It's not true to me. I'm not the same as the homeless guy down the street who's unambitious and does drugs. I'm not that guy, man. Shit. So the people that are coming and the people that are studying these forms, these art forms, are supposed to be in the spirit of the adventure. And maybe, like a video game, one character is a spy versus one is like a barbarian. And the barbarian is very muscular and strong and looks fucking intimidating. And the spy is thin, but they work together for the same objective and makes them deadly. And you find them in the video game as the characters that you play to go out and have an adventure. So everybody who's doing these art forms with us needs to bring back that sense of adventure and not have the values of the shopkeeper who wants to stay home and have a comfortable, safe life. This is not that. This is not that. This, you're going to go out, you're going to put yourself at risk, you're going to be in danger, you're going to get bloodied, but fuck, you're going to have a good time and you're going to come back at what? Level 5. Because these characters always level up. Or you die in the process. But, you know, it's not that fucking serious. We're going to go get girls. You know what I mean? Come on. So that's what I want to say. Come to that sense. Because that's the sense I'm going to bring to you. I'm going to help you recognize your own class. I'm going to show you that you have been using the wrong values of the wrong class type. If you're a samurai, you cannot, you should not have the values of the farmer. There's enough books in Samurai Times about that. And we just don't see it anymore. But believe me, we should see it. You know, if a sorcerer or a shaman have the values of a, I don't know, a shopkeeper, they're not going to do very well in their art form because it requires them to look at the world differently and do certain things that others won't do, and not do certain things that others do. It's a code in itself. So I'll end it with that and let everyone think about that for a little bit, because I know it's fun to think about. You know, I know I'm also my own audience. So as I'm talking, I'm like, yeah, that was fucking good. That got me excited. Stop and I'll pass it on.
I want to give a final note. When you want to win in sports, you can win by being stronger or by being faster or a combination of both. But there's an element of speed that's essential, and there's an element of strength that's essential. And then in business, you got to have the cutting edge. And you also, to experience long-term success anywhere, you have to have a serious code of ethic. First towards yourself, and then towards the service that you render. Now, here's the frame. Last frame I'm going to offer until the mention. What if all of your struggles and all of your challenges are not really challenges nor struggles? They're only there because of a lack of strength, inner strength, of a lack of speed. They're faster than you. They're faster than your evolution. Or because of a lack of having the cutting edge technology, or a lack of having a true code of conduct, because there's a promise that you violate every day, which is the fastest way to either lower your self-esteem, but if you want to raise your self-esteem, keep your promise to yourself. And you cannot keep the small promises only, or just the small promises. You got to keep the highest promise to yourself, because on your deathbed, there's going to be a moment when you're going to look back and you're going to think, fuck, what about all the women I didn't have? And that's going to happen before. What about all the projects I never went through? There's gold in you. There's gold. Maybe there's books. Maybe there's music. Maybe there's business ideas. Then there's moments also to savor the moment, to really be with the moment. I did this exercise tonight where I was driving over the hills going towards La Cañada. The sun was setting. It had kind of set some of the hills. They were fire prior year or something, so they were a little dark. And, you know, that Sunday, a lot of people, they go, okay, fuck, the fun is over, and I'm going back to work. This is recorded on a Sunday. And I could feel that energy. And then I decided, based on a new entity that's helping me, to bring brightness into it. So the hills started to become more colorful. And at first, it was not easy. But I decided to be greater than the appearance and the environment, and to bring so much joy and beauty in the dark. So you have to speed the fuck up, and you can either be the kind that will blame everything around you or blame yourself, or you can be smart and realize, no, it's a simple, practical thing. I need to tap into greater strength, so my strength is greater than the apparent strength of any problem or goals or dreams in any direction. I need to be faster than anything that could take me down or elude me. You need speed, and then I need the best, finest technology and a serious code of ethic. And thank you, gentlemen. It's been an honor. And also, speaking of a code of ethic, you know, the strength of a Rush and the unmatched, you know. I just want to say, when a Rush is be the best, fuck the rest. When you know a Rush, as I'm getting to know him always more, you go, all right, know that. That's the fucking best at all level. And James, your kindness throughout the year, you know, you're a mentor to me, and you always were there, the wheelchair, all my challenges, you know, there was my shaman, you know, like Raj is saying, you know, as a prince, I need assistance around me, so I turned to James, and brilliant, the newer work, the meditation, brilliant. I think we did it, guys. What do you say? We'll see you guys.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Online. See you on your deathbed when you regret everything you missed out. Good night, everyone.
All right,
you've been listening to The Real Kings of Pickup with Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash Motherfucking Divazar. Brought to you by www.globalslr.com. Call live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to get your questions answered.
Just dial 701-801-1220.
Then enter 129-779-160.
Followed by the pound key.
To get your free pickup starters kit, go to www.seductioncoaching.com now. And remember, stay sexy.